So this morning, I want to expound just four verses from God's Word. And I've only heard these verses expounded once. And I've had some pencil notes in my Bible under them. And they were many years ago when we were lecturing at a Bible college in Vanuatu. And I was trying to come up with a catchy title, but nothing sort of seemed to gel, except that I want to share about what is basically your job description and my job description. And then I thought, well, hang on, there's a sentence that covers it all that's already there. And the sentence might be, if they would just do what I told them to do in the first place. That's a good sentence, isn't it? And we're going to look at what that sentence looks like this morning. So with that long title option, let's look at our scripture this morning. It comes from the very end of Matthew's Gospel, and some of you are heading there already. So Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20. So let's read that now. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things and that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." I said to David before the service, it's really difficult when you get a spot like this and you've got 1 week. Now, I know that 2 weeks ago there was a large crowd here because everybody knew that, thought that I was preaching. But Andrew wanted to grab 2 weeks ago and last week. He said, because it's really not good if I just front up for 1 week and then say I'm going away next week. So he said, "Russell, can you run in two weeks' time?" So that's what we've done. So there's not so many here today because they're expecting Andrew. Well, that's what... you didn't know. There you go. Anyway. But it's difficult to sort of fill in a slot. And when I look at those verses, I'd love 4 weeks to sort of just open that up and look at all the alls that are being spoken in this powerful message. And it is just that. It's possibly one of the most powerful messages in God's Word. This morning, I want to break it into four parts, starting at verse 18. So, first, let me pray. Lord, thank you for this wonderful opportunity to stand in this place, to open your Word to these people. Lord, I pray that words that aren't of you might fall to the floor, but words of your Spirit would reach into our hearts, reach into our minds, and bring about a harvest of action. Pray this in your name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. But when I said this, when I spoke this text, and I didn't see it, and I've had it referenced in my Bible, there's another text in the Bible that has four alls in it, the same focus on alls, and I think we're going to grab that. It's in Ephesians 6, just for a look, Ephesians 6, 18 to 20. Praying always with all power and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And there's the all four alls again. So let's get back to our text now. But it's just interesting, you know, how God's Word has been put together for our benefit this morning. So first I want to focus on the encounter. So what can we see in verses 16 and 17? The disciples have arrived at the location that Jesus previously asked them to go to the mountain of Galilee. And they've arrived there as they've directed. And if you've got your Bibles open or your text open, you can see those couple of references there just ahead of where I spoke shared this morning. But that already shows us there's obedience on behalf of the disciples. I need to speak to you here. I need you to be here at this time. And they've been obedient and they've been done as they've been asked to do. And if you look at Matthew 28, 7 and 10, you can see two references there. if you've got your Bibles on, telling the women who were to tell the disciples where they were expected to be at a specific time. And they've responded in obedience, and now they're here at the place they were asked to be at. If I was to author this verse, I would never have included this statement here at the end of the Lord's earthly ministry. But some doubted. I love that Matthew actually includes it, that there were doubters. Any doubters here this morning? It's okay to put up your hand. Church, it's okay to have doubts. God's word is the best solution for our doubts and fears. So here's a group of men whose minds are everywhere. The cross, his resurrection, now he's ascending. What's really going on here? What's the real and what's not real? The last 40 plus days have really done their heads in. Yes, he said things that they didn't work out at the time, but now all the dots are lining up. I can see clearly now. Sounds like a good song. Church, we've had 2,000 years to digest it. We've had 2,000 years to work out what was being said, how it was being said, and to who it was being said, and why it was being said. And we're still deciding, we're still trying to decipher parts of his word. And for me, there are, I just don't know parts of God's word. And for me, that's okay. And I'm okay with that. But when I look at this first part, I love the disciples' response. When they saw him, they worshipped him. If you actually read the background of this, it actually literally means they actually fell to their knees and worshipped him. They didn't just stand there with hands raised, they actually fell to their knees and worshipped the Lord. Having said that, I just now want to look at 4 points in the remaining verses, and you will all quickly work out what my focus is. First point is all authority. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Whoa. That's pretty strong, isn't it? All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Now, there's no part measure of authority given here. There's no a teaspoon in the bottom of the cup. There's all authority being given here. There's no mistaking the source of the authority that's being given here. So we need to ask two questions here. Firstly, who gave it? Who gave the authority? Who gave all authority to him? And second question might be where and when that authority was given. Now I hope on Tuesday night we're going to really pull this apart and understand it, but we don't have time to do that this morning. But here's a couple of verses that might help us understand the answer. Matthew 11:27 says, "All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. No one, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one whom the Son wills to reveal him." John 3:35, "The Father loved the Son and has given all things into his hand." That authority, that all authority has been given to him. It was a pivotal point or a pivotal event when that occurred after his resurrection and prior to his ascension. And that's got you thinking, hasn't it? And I want you to really think about that and discover in your own mind and God's word what that looks like. This authority was conferred by God the Father as a result of Jesus completing his earthly mission by becoming totally human and conquering death. This authority was given in response to his obedience by submitting to death and being raised to life. Now he is enabled to reign and to commission his disciples here at this location. This authority is total authority, covering both earthly creation and spiritual realms. It's also the fulfillment of the words in Daniel 7, "The Son of Man received an everlasting dominion." So church, when Jesus gives the disciples their to-do list, It's not a simple request. No, it's not. It's a command. It's a command of the Lord of heaven and earth, the one who has been given and today has all authority. Second point, verse 19, is where we find the second point. You worked out what our titles are? You've all got it? Rightio. Therefore, because I have all authority. So there, what's the therefore for? Therefore, because I have all authority, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. There's three parts to this next verse we want to look at this morning. Three bits, and then we'll go on to the next one. The first part, he says clearly, go. Go. Anybody been told where to go? Be careful now. Anybody been told where to go? Go home. Regularly, go home. Go away. I reckon parents have used this in the last week. Go to bed. And then a little bit later, parents say, go to sleep. Being told where to go. Go to work, go without, go with the flow, go over what you've written. And I actually found this, and I don't want to offend anybody. What do we say when we're going to split the bill? Go Dutch. I never knew that. Rightio, good on you. But the go here isn't that at all. It's completely different, the go that Jesus is saying to his disciples. The go in this verse is an assumption that you're already going, that you have gone. A clearer way might be to put it, as you are going or on your way, or as you're on your way, do this. I tried to write a verse here. If I said to John, get me a glass of water and please close the door on the way. There's no suggestion about going, but there's no option given. I didn't say, John, if you care to go. See the difference? So finally, there's an assumption that you are going. So go and do what? Do what I asked you to do. Now you see where my sentence title comes from. So go and do what? The second part, it says go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. If you are not going and making disciples, then as somebody said to me recently from this church, everything else that happens in church becomes nothing more than a community group. Church on Sunday should be like a basketball game where the coach calls time out, a time to celebrate and encourage the team, a time to set out a plan for the next play period or activity to be successful. A basketball game doesn't exist just totally on time out. It exists on players on the court. Yeah? That's what we've got to be, players on the court. And this gathering together is a timeout on Sunday where we celebrate all that's happening and we talk about what might be successful ahead. Oswald Chambers. So, I've lost my spot. So if that was our directive to make disciples, and I believe it is, what does that look like? Oswald Chambers said, our Lord had only one desire, and that was to do the will of his Heavenly Father. If we have the same desire, then there will be activity. To do the will of our Heavenly Father will be that activity. Then we'll be engaged in the work of making disciples. Making disciples, put simply, is just duplicating all that Christ is in our life. Making a copy of the original. I made a copy of the original last night. The other one was a bit messy, so I redid it. But that's what we're to do. Just as you are called to become more and more like Jesus in every part of your life, those around you see and copy your behavior. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 11:1, "Follow me as I follow him." Also in 2 Timothy 2, verse 2, it's well covered off as well. Listen to it. And I'm trying to, there was four people here, I'm just running out of time this morning. If we put four people on the stage looking at you, and number, I'll read it. 2 Timothy 2:2. "And the things that you have heard from among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others. And the things you have heard from me and among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." That's what we've been commissioned to do. That's our directive. Listen, learn, share, and share. Part three, all nations. Here's the all part of point two. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." All nations in the Greek, and I'm trying, panta ta ethni. And that's where we get the word ethnic from, all right? It actually means all peoples or all groups, all the people or all the people groups. It's got that ethnic ties about it. But church, it's just not over there. It's not just overseas. It's both global and local. Church, there's people groups right amongst us this morning. True? There's people groups represented here this morning. It's to make disciples wherever you find yourself. It's here in Wonthaggi. It's in the Cape. It's on the island. It's not necessarily others overseas. And sadly, we've used this historically to step away from our responsibility to make disciples. Oh, it's their job. They'll go overseas and do it. We'll sponsor them. No, it's our job to do here. It's about you and me here at WBC. It's about our involvement as disciples in the community here at WBC. The person who welcomes at the door, serves coffee, cleans the church, or plays a musical instrument and breaks a string. Teaching kids, works the media desk. All are as important as the person who stands here this morning. We are all have a directive to be involved. Is that directive, as you are going, we covered earlier? And just something about, it's here at WBC where we struggle to fill rosters. A few people doing most of the work. God needs your unique gifting for his glory in this place, not overseas, like the basketball game. You need to be on the team and on the court. And you can be a vital part of the team. Okay, where are we up to? Point three. The third, all things. Verse 20. "Teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you." What's that look like? There are many and varied interpretations today of all things. All things are being promoted in so many different ways and different media today. All things makes it looks like whatever you want it to look like today. Did you know that the Garden of Eden was actually located in Missouri? Somebody believes that. Did you know there's a practice of sin eating? This is under all things, isn't it? I've got no idea what that would look like or taste like. Ask me later if you want more info about it. I actually did a bit of Googling. But clearly, for that all things, there was no biblical understanding of atonement in that position. What's the word? Behold the Lamb of God, what? Who takes away? Yeah. Nothing to do with sin eating. Behold the Lamb of God. No understanding of atonement like we have today. There's a position held that God was once a man. There's a group that believe using the word God is sinful. It's called the I Am movement. Has anybody got a wagon wheel in their front garden? Is there one in your garden, June, or not? Wagon wheel? No wagon wheel? Got a wagon wheel? It's got spokes? Yep, they're not rotten yet. Wonderful, half rotten. But if we have a wagon wheel with those wooden spokes, every one of those spokes has got to be exactly the same length for that wagon wheel to function as it was designed to function. And if we have one spoke, every spoke representing a Bible doctrine or belief. Here's some. Salvation. Spoke of salvation. Healing. Baptism. Creation. Giving. Holy Spirit. Second coming. Grace versus works. Who's been to Coorong lately? The shelves are full of everybody's version on second coming, aren't they? Yeah? Which one do you want to choose? Coorong is full of other people's perspectives of what their interpretation of what might be in this book. True? I pray that we're really wise when we go into that place. Don't say don't go there. I'm not saying that at all. But be very, very careful of what you put in front of you. But God's word is the hub of that wheel. And God's word needs to be at the center of everything we operate with. We understand our salvation, our healing. What if one of those spokes was shorter? What if one of those spokes was longer than it needed to be? What's an imbalance? How many like a smooth ride because all the spokes are in balance? How careful have we got to be to focus on God's word every week? 2 Timothy 2:15 says, be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. God's word needs to be our reference always for our point. And my last point, his assurance. Have you been looking for the fourth all? It's hiding here, but when you look at the Greek, it's actually there. Did you find it? And surely I am with you always. Well done, some of you. In the Greek, it says, and surely I am with you all the days. All the days. Yes, church, that's his promise to the disciples that doubted then and to us today at WBC. Don't try and do this on your own. Don't try and make disciples on your own. We have never been directed to do this in our own strength. God would say, you need me and I need you. He gave them this promise. I will. Not I might be, I could be. I will be with you always. Here's some always promises from God's word. He promised and has delivered our comforter, the Holy Spirit. He didn't promise and not deliver. He has promised and delivered our comforter, the Holy Spirit, to us today. He has never shortchanged those who believe and trust in him. So when you're frustrated with that person or people you are sowing into muck up, he's with you. John 15:3 to 11 speaks about us remaining in him and him remaining in us. Matthew 1:22-23, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. He's with us today by his Holy Spirit. Hebrews 13, the last part of verse 5, he will never leave you or forsake you. Joshua 1:9, that last for the last verse, for the Lord our God is with you wherever you go. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this day. Thank you for the privilege of opening your word this morning. I thank you for the blessing it's been to me to research it, to ponder it, to explore it. Thank you, Lord, that I might have started some inquiry from others. Thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you, Lord, for this gathering where we can just time out together and encourage and celebrate all that you are in our lives. Lord, let's not just have time out all week. Let's go and do. Let's be players on the court this week for your glory. Not for our glory, for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you as they come.